Is that going to be for me? Really, it's such an overwhelming experience for me to be here today. And I was really in a quandary as to whether I should speak extemporaneously or just work the notes. And while I was meditating today, I just thought, well, the best thing to do is be prepared, as we all should when we speak publicly. But my intent today is just to be myself. So as I get started, I just want to give my personal greeting to the head of the school, Robin Robertson, Chaplain Ed Snow, the faculty, of whom I've seen quite a bit over the last 3 days since I've been here, particularly my dear friend, and having met his wife, Francis, Bob and Francis Sinegro, the staff, including Christine Savini, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, Christine, and Joyce Atkins, with whom I've spoken both on telephone as well as in a preliminary meeting to prepare for the opportunities that I would have to share with the student body beyond the instrument, which is drums. And certainly the guests that are here tonight, and most certainly the people that I'm looking at in these pews, if we still call them that, the student body. I also want to extend my personal thanks to heartfelt thanks for your invitation to me to come back, not only to be a part of the Milton experience once again with the jazz program, the celebration that began on Friday night, which I was totally elated to participate in because, as you've heard, I made music my life profession, but also the additional opportunities to speak with you from my heart about my experiences here at the school, this evening as well as tomorrow at the assembly in Wing Hall. It's a privilege and a unique pleasure for me to be here. My focus this evening, as I've already indicated, is to share my heart and simply be myself, so that there's no misunderstanding of whether I'm being sincere or not. There's a word called unctuous. One can be insincerely sincere, but I'm speaking from my heart. And this is enjoyable for me. It's my preferred mode of communication. And I hope for you, as I share what I have to say tonight. I've been asked to speak about my experiences and emotions. Not merely, although it was indicated, but just as a human being, but particularly also because I was the first among two African Americans to have graduated the school at a time which there was a lot of change in our community, nationally and worldwide. My experiences in Milton and how they have impacted my life. Toward that, I will say that given my varied activities in the school, in so many departments at the time, this weekend is possibly the best time for me to have come back. In fact, I would probably even put it on a par of me, on the same level as me participating in a reunion with my own classmates. I say that because despite my focus on academics, and this is an academic institution, both here and at Harvard, where I was a member of the class of 71, music and the music industry turned out to be the love of my life and my core competency. Yet I was able to draw on many disciplines that, frankly, even though coming out of the public school system in New York City, I feel, really, honestly, I feel I blossomed as an individual when I had the opportunity to attend Milton. You've already heard the artists that I've worked with. When I was speaking with Sarah and Taylor earlier, I found that they took two whole paragraphs out of my talk with you tonight because I was going to enumerate them. But I will simply say that the birth of the music here, that began here, really, as I said, blossomed when I found myself at Harvard and having an even more opportunity to broaden my horizons and to play with other people. James Taylor was a student here in Milton. He was class two when I was class three. But at Harvard, Bonnie Raitt was in Radcliffe, and I had opportunity to play with her in Humanities 105A, which I don't even know if they still have that course anymore, but we essentially put on a drama. And there were three bands in that course. And one of the guitar players in the jazz and R&B group that I was working with at the time, aside from the cast and players, all the members of whom were graduates of Milton, was picked up by the Staples Center. So needless to say, even though the coursework was very intensive there, I just could not get away from the music. So right after my last year there, I was called to New York by a couple of musicians that I knew in the area, and was asked to join a group whose manager at that time, and don't laugh when you hear this, because I don't look like any of the members of KISS, but he wound up being the manager for the KISS band. His name is Bill Coyne. And so I worked with another group that he was working with, and it was through that. Some of you may ask, well, how did you get to play with all of these artists? It's beyond being at the right place at the right time. You have to have a drive and passion in your heart that allows you to keep your focus in what you want to do. This world, this life doesn't guarantee you anything. It certainly doesn't owe you anything, but I don't want to get ahead of myself here. It's how we take advantage of the opportunities, not as an opportunist, but as one who tries to maximize the resources that are made available to us. And that's the privilege that we have. So I felt as if, or rather, I'm very grateful, I should say, that even though I was in the right place at the right time, I had the opportunity to meet other people that allowed me to come right out of, essentially, school and start playing with Donny Hathaway, which some of you may or may not remember. But back in '69, some of you audiophiles might know, there was a song called Where Is the Love with Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway. And that was written by a good friend of mine whose name is Bill Withers and also Ralph McDonough out of New York. And I was able to work with Donny, worked with him for 2 years. It was through that relationship, working major venues all around the country, one of which was the Newport Jazz Festival, which wasn't in Newport, Rhode Island any longer. It was booked around major venues in the country. I was able to network and meet other people, and hence the names of artists, most of which were not mentioned, that I, over a 25-year period, got to work with. But that was very interesting, and I found that I was getting a little stale behind just traveling quite a bit, and so I merged into the music business, started a record label, and despite all of the detractors that said, leave it up to the majors to manufacture and distribute your records, I proved them wrong. And it wasn't so much me, but the people that I was networking with. You gotta surround yourself with good people. There's a thought in the scripture that says, bad associations or relationships will corrupt good morals, manners, and character. And it's very important that we know who our friends are, because everybody that may have a label doesn't necessarily maintain the integrity that sticks with that. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. To be truthful, it wasn't that I wasn't playing drums before I came to Milton, which I was. It's just that here I was able to blossom in that activity because I had self-confidence and I was being nurtured by this environment, this incredible environment in the school, to really look beyond myself and to network with people around me, including the faculty. So that's the result of some of the things that you heard, which culminated in my senior year, class one, being in the student government and what have you. So I was able to really network with the student body. Now you may, having heard all that, ask the question, well, how was all of this possible in a time period, the 60s, when the national and world scene was in such turmoil? Well, let's consider that for a moment. Between the racial and civil unrest domestically, and most brutal war that was going on in Vietnam at the time, it seems miraculous that Milton Academy was able to sustain its vision and mission toward providing the best environment, the best education for any student body anywhere at that time in this country, and I would venture to say even internationally. For me personally, though, I have to ask the question, how is it possible for a black teenager coming from Queens, New York, not from a well-heeled family, but performing academically well enough at a school, high school in New York City to be able to matriculate here, having not even knowing this institution, not knowing anyone here, how was I able to come up and just kind of meld into the vision and mission of this school? I found the official answer. as well as developing the highest respect for each other. Humorously, I like to look at it this way, so I'll say that my unofficial Suswellian observation on that answer is recognizing that the leadership at this school took these values seriously. What's more, I believe in my heart that those values were not just meant for the students, but that all of the Milton experience were then and are now being shaped by the invaluable benefits that they garnered. Namely, and if I may say, the triumvirate of vision, values, and mission is a two-edged sword that affects both involved with it, the faculty and the student, the mentor and the mentored, so that both come out sharper than they ever could even have imagined had not the relationship been established. We are all a work in progress. Now please allow me to support this because in the Bicentennial magazine that came out in 2002, there's an article by a faculty member here, Mr. Dick Griffin, and allow me to quote him in this article, or from this article. He said in the article, which is entitled, "Why Did I Stay at Milton?" Sometimes when the foibles of adolescents try our patience, we forget what a privilege it is to teach students of such diversity and talent. I am absolutely sure, Mr. Griffin says, that being around these students has added years to my life and fed my enthusiasm for teaching. With Dick Griffin's comments in mind, allow me to offer my perspective on several key words as we get really into the meat of what I feel in my heart I wish to say to you tonight. I believe these words provide the student body with something to always keep in view. And the first word is privilege, the second word is diversity. First word, privilege. Out of my personal experience, I've learned that privilege is meant to empower you, not entitle you. We are all works in progress, and taken in the right context here, there are no guarantees in life when it comes to what we feel we deserve or what we need. It is what we earn that makes the difference, I should say. The idea of privilege should be born on the wings of thankfulness, gratefulness. The privilege that we experience should be an expression of our appreciation for our environment and for others. I encourage you to hold fast to this principle because you will always wind up receiving more than what you could ever imagine giving to someone else when having the right attitude about privilege. The second word is really a hallmark of Milton, and that is, in the school mission, one of diversity. Diversity is as much a matter of personal growth as it is a corporate truth, as it relates to Milton. True diversity is more than creating a melting pot of individuals where everyone remains stagnant in their own personalities and principles. It's rather an opportunity for us to allow true hunger, honesty, and humility to grow within us. It allows us to develop an unfeigned love. And I'm going to just say, even though this isn't a sermon and I do have a ministerial background, that word love is such a bantered phrase. The true meaning of that word is that we see each other unconditionally. There is never anything that anyone can do that affects us. We allow them to take the power from us. Thank you, Brian, for the conversations that we've had. This is perhaps why my younger years at Milton were among the best 3 years of my life. And I've done a thing or two, and I'm grateful for that. When I came with the attitude that, yes, I'm different, but I have something to say, too, that will hopefully benefit someone else if they listen, as I learned. Yes, I'm learning things at a level that I might not ever have been exposed to elsewhere. Certainly not with the same atmosphere or intimacy that all of you in Milton must know. But I'm confident in myself enough to know that I'm a better person because of it. It doesn't matter if I'm African American. It doesn't matter if I'm black. It doesn't matter if I'm Hispanic. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is that no matter who we are, another ethnicity, another national will come to know us, or rather what God intended to be displayed or expressed through us, both culturally, spiritually, and in any framework you can imagine. Altogether, not only am I a better person because of what Milton displayed or allowed to be displayed in me or gave me the atmosphere as a catalyst, but hopefully others down the line have benefited from the improvement that I've experienced in my own life. The only record, and this is the last nugget that I want to share, things will happen in life. Some people will make you angry, you'll get alienated from others, you fall out of touch with others. But if through the process of living you ever commit a sin of commission or a sin of transgression, an omission, something you've done knowingly or something you've done unwittingly, the one way for either you, the transgressor, or the other person who is transgressed to reconcile that situation is in one word. And that's the word, forgive each other. Just forgive each other. Having shown, as I draw to a close, having shown and shared my heart tonight regarding Milton Academy, both then and now, I conclude with a thought taken from the valedictory message to the graduating class in 1967. Therein, Harrison Drinkwater, my dear friend who I spoke with just this week, affectionately known as Sip, some of you will get that, said, I only have one wish for my class. This is my expression to you as a school. I only have one wish for my class, that for years to come, perhaps for all your life, you will have the most difficult time imaginable, but with the most success. For only then will you know how good you are. I applaud you for your successes. I'm grateful and proud to be a part of the legacy of Milton Academy since 1798. Congratulations, as I know you'll continue in the tradition I've come to know as an alumnus. Thank you.
I'm going to have